Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the rain. We've prayed for rain, and we thank you as the rain you provide. And I continue to pray, Lord. I know everything, you give us everything in due season. Help us to be wait on you, to be patient, and to see what you are doing and going to do. So we thank you for this new day. We thank you for this new opportunity to be in this place, to be in your word, to be guided as you have given us the Holy Spirit. So we ask for the guidance of your Holy Spirit in our teaching and study this morning and in our time of worship as well, that you will continue to direct us to the word that you want us to see and will be meaningful into each of our individual lives, maybe in different ways. But help, that's what your word is, the living word that speaks to us individually into our lives in ways that many times it may be quite unexpected. And so we thank you for your provision that we find in your word. So as we study Isaiah, continue to study Isaiah, we thank you for this word of prophecy, this book, that we can learn so much from, not only what you told us would happen even before Jesus came the first time in your book of prophecy, and you fulfilled many of those prophecies, but yet there's so many yet to come. And so we look forward to our time of study and encouragement that your word gives us. And we just ask for your continued direction and guidance. So we thank you for this time and for the people who have come this day. And we thank you for the remembrance that we celebrate with Memorial Day and this weekend, and for those who have visited grave sites of loved ones. We just ask that that will be a comfort and a blessing for each one of them that do that. We continue to ask for your direction in each of our lives individually and corporately as well, Lord, that we can be together in the body of Christ, and together we are the bride of Christ. And so we look forward to the return of the bridegroom. And so we thank you for this time, and we thank you for everything that you continue to do and provide for us in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to pick right up with a reading from chapter 51. I'm going to start with verse 9, but I do want to just do a real quick overview based on my outline for those first 8 verses that we covered last week. So I added a few notes in my margin. I just want to share some of those thoughts with you, because I ended last week with the sense that each one of those sub-points, those 8 sub-points to that first bullet point, and the bullet point is again, listen, my people, look to the rock, look to Abraham. And so then the 8 sub-points that I identified in the verses, those 8 verses, were pursue righteousness and seek the Lord. And I believe that's just simply reminding us, reminding God's people, through his prophet Isaiah, that they were to pursue the way, and the way of God is righteousness. And you can only seek God through his righteousness. Number 2 is to learn from Abraham, their father, the father of their faith, because God blessed them and made him many descendants. 3, the Lord will comfort Zion with compassion. So they're instructed to look to that, because that's future. The totality of the completion of that will be, I believe, in the millennial messianic kingdom, where the Lord will truly comfort Zion with compassion. And then there's like 4 of the sub-points that deal with the topic of justice and righteousness, which we've talked about many times through Isaiah. The law will go out, justice will become a light to the nations. The Lord's righteousness will bring salvation, and his arm justice. Then it says to lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth. Justice will be served, but salvation will last forever, and righteousness will never fail. And then the last point is my righteousness, the Lord's righteousness, will last forever, my salvation through all generations. And then the other point there is the next to last one, number 7, is just simply hear the word. Hear me, you who know what is right. Do not fear the reproach of men, of man. So that's kind of the, in quick summary, what we dealt with primarily last week with those 8 verses. So we're ready to move on to verse 9. And I'm gonna read, I think, verses 9 and 10 first, because that's the first sub-point. The bullet point is awake, awake. Look at what I have done. See what I will do. And I just want, we're going to hear that term, the double worded, awake, awake, 3 times as we go through this particular theme or topic. Well, we have it here in verse 9. We have it again in verse 17. And we'll have it again in chapter 52, verse 1. So again, it comes in threes. Is that purposeful? Does it represent God's will, desire? Well, you can make up your own mind. But when I reflected upon those words, awake, awake, all I could think of is God is trying to bring them out of their sleep. In other words, while they were sleeping, they were not doing God's word. A will and following his way. And so here the command is from God to awake, awake, wake up. And so I want to, before we end this lesson, I want to share something that I shared way back in one of my revelation studies back in 2016. And it's a song, so I'm just going to tease you with it now, and we'll talk about it at the end of the lesson when we get as far as we can. But I want to reflect upon that being awake, being awake, and what happens when we're not. And so it was for the people of Judah here in the time of Isaiah. And so the command from the Lord is to awake, awake. And so in verse 9, that's what it begins with. Again, I think we've mentioned it several times, when God repeats something, you better pay attention, because it's doubly important. And so I believe that sense, that command, you're asleep. Wake up. Wake up and get with it. So awake, awake, clothe yourselves with strength. And what is that strength there to clothe themselves with? O arm of the Lord. So trust in the Lord. Let the Lord carry you. Let the Lord embrace you. And then it goes on, awake, as in the days gone by. So remember what I've done for you in the past. And that's what he's going to remind them of here. As in the generations of old. Was it not you who cut Rahab to pieces? Now Rahab here referring to Egypt as an entity, it's believed, because we talked about that, I think, back in, chapter 27, verse 1 of Isaiah. That Rahab is a term, one of the terms for the sense for Egypt. And of course, we also know Rahab the character, but that was a good character because she was the one that hid the spies and so forth as the before Israel would go into the promised land in Jericho. And she was the one that was protected through the destruction of Jericho by God, because what'd she do? She hung a scarlet thread in the window. And that's that picture of God's scarlet thread that he provides. And so when you think of his provision for salvation, and that was pictured in the character of Rahab, and Rahab is also mentioned in the ancestry of Jesus, you know, as one of the Gentile connections. But this, in this case, Rahab that's mentioned here is really representative of of Egypt, who was Israel's enemy, and God cut them up to pieces, who pierced that monster through. In other words, God brought the destruction or the overcoming of Egypt in the history of Israel. Verse 10 goes on and talks about how God delivered them from Egypt. Was it not you who dried up the sea, Red Sea, so that the redeemed might cross over? So that's a reference to past, what God had done for them in the past. And then verse 11 is stuck in there, and I believe this is future. I believe this is another glimpse into what will happen as they enter the millennial messianic kingdom. The ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So the days of sadness and everything will be ended. And ultimately, we know that Israel has to go through a whole lot before they ever get to that point. And so that's what we need to understand, because this just doesn't happen just like that. But when the time comes, God will make it happen for them. But that's a promise into the future. Then verse 12. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal men, the sons of men who are but grass? And what do we do with grass? Either the animals eat it, or we mow it, or we, you know, basically grass is to has a purpose, but like other things, that there's a purpose of being cut down and destroyed in a lot of ways. That you forget the Lord your Maker, and that's the important thing, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. Again, that reminder of who God is and what the principle is here, that he's the one that stretched out the heavens. He's the one that created all things. He laid the foundations of the earth. That you live in constant terror every day because of the wrath of the oppressor who is bent on destruction. For where is the wrath of the oppressor? The cowering prisoners will soon be set free. That's God's promise. They will not die in their dungeon, nor will they lack bread. God will provide. For I am the Lord your God, who churns up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty is his name. I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. I, who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundations of the earth, who say to Zion, you are my people. So just a moment to reflect on those verses based on the outline. I categorize this whole section from verses 9 to 16, like it did on the outline, awake, awake, look at what I've done. In other words, reminding them of what God provided, what he's done, and then also reminding them to see what I will do. Look forward to what I have yet to do, what I'm going to do for you. Because in verses 9 and 10, he delivered them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. But he will return, they will return to Zion with singing, full of gladness and joy. Verse 11, and then verses 12 to 16, I just summarized them. Never forget the Lord, your Maker, who has put his words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of his hand, for you are his people. And so that's kind of the provision in that part. So the first awake, is reminding them of the past, encouraging them with the future. And then, but as I said before, and I'm going to, this theme throughout my teaching this morning, is to awake from your sleep. And I think it's very relevant for our nation, for our church, for all aspects of our lives now. Don't sleep through it. Be watchful. Be ready. Recognize what is going on. And so what I'll share at the end, you know, kind of relates to that. So from what I taught from Revelation way back, see, it's been 15 years ago that this particular, I know, you know, Joe and Laura have been to several of my Revelation studies and with their daughters, and appreciated them so much. And but this one you weren't at, so this is something that I shared different things with different groups, you know, depending on the situation. So I'll share this about the whole sense of waking up, you know, being awake. Do not continue to sleep. And so that's what I believe God, through Isaiah, is telling his people of Judah. And I think he continues to remind us of that to today. And particularly to those that call themselves followers of the true God, you know, to be awake, to be alert, to be watchful, to rely upon what God has done for us in our past individually or as a nation or as a people, but also what his plan is as things move forward. And we can't know exactly what specifically is going to happen from day to day, but we know everything is in God's total plan. So, all right, let's move on to that last part of chapter 51 and cover verses 17 through 23. I just have here the awake call is directed to a specific location, entity, people. And so it's awake, awake, O Jerusalem. It's almost like a plaintive cry from the Lord. O Jerusalem, just like Jesus said, O Jerusalem. Like a hen gathers her chicks. They missed Jesus when he came the first time, and we know that. And Jesus wept over the city. And so here it was in the Old Testament too, because they had not really trusted God by and large. You know, God always provided a remnant, but by and large, the people of Israel and then Judah and even the kings, as I mentioned in the last couple weeks, there was not one righteous king in the northern kingdom. And there were only a handful in the southern kingdom for all those years that God allowed them to have their own king. And they kept having bad kings. And so, and every time, you know, God would give them a little bit more time. And so he did that with Judah, even at the time the Assyrians came against the northern kingdom of Israel, that God gave Judah more time because they were just a little bit more respectful of God. But in the end, God too had to judge them with the Babylonians coming. So anyway, let's go on with verses 17 to 23, just two sub-bullet points there, and we'll talk about them after I read this. It says in verse 17, awake, awake, again, rise up, get up. Come out of your sleep, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord. In other words, the Lord has given you drink. And what is that drink? From the cup of his wrath. When God brings judgment, he brings the cup of wrath. And so they have tasted from it, the cup of wrath. Who have drained it, its dregs, the goblet that makes men stagger. In other words, drunken with the wrath of God. And so God has shown them his wrath, and they obviously have forgotten that there are consequences to when you are in not in a proper relationship with God. His people were not in a proper relationship with him. And so God had to bring wrath upon them, and he had. Verse 18, of all the sons she bore, there was none to guide her. And of all the sons she reared, there was none to take her by the hand. These double calamities have come upon you. Who can comfort you? Ruin and destruction, famine and sword, who can console you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of every street, like antelope caught in a net. They are filled with the wrath of the Lord and the rebuke of your God. Therefore, hear this, you afflicted one, made drunk, but not with wine. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Your God, who defends his people, see, I have taken out of your hand the cup that made you stagger. From that cup, the goblet of my wrath, you will never drink again. God will take that wrath away from them. And then what will he do? I will put it into the hands of your tormentors, their enemies, who said to you, fall prostrate, that we may walk over you. And you made your back like the ground, like a street to be walked over. And God's wrath will be poured out upon those who had come against his people Israel. So God is continually going back and forth with his being upset with his own chosen people and encouraging them to wake up and turn back to him and follow his ways. And when they don't do it, he has to send some correction, some punishment, to try to get them out of their slumber. But ultimately, he still loves them, and he will still bring or take the true punishment will be poured out upon their enemies. So that's what I believe this is saying. So let's just look at the couple subpoints I have in the outline. Because for Jerusalem, and Jerusalem we know is the city of God, we is that most holy, I believe, piece of real estate upon the whole earth. It's a piece, the burdensome stone that all the nations are striving to obtain, to get, to control. We have three religions that claim it as their holy site, and so it's very important piece of real estate. But so the awake call is to Jerusalem, to that location, to that city, to the people in that city. You who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath. And then, but the promise is he will take that cup that made you stagger and put it in the hands of your tormentors. So that's kind of where we end chapter 51. And of course, chapter 52 kind of continues from there. We'll start on this, but I want to stop in order to kind of tell you the background for what I want to share with you that I taught from the book of Revelation before we finish today. Anyway, let's go on in chapter 52, verse 1. And again, this is that third set of awake awakes. Three times in this section, God has put in his word through his prophet Isaiah that cry, that call. And what response does God want from his call to awake? He wants us to wake, or wants his people to wake up, to not sleep and slumber. Well, the world is falling apart. And so I think the same call is for America, and particularly the church, because this God was making this plea to his chosen people. At that time, through Isaiah, it was to Judah. But I think he continues to make that call to his people even now. Wake up, wake up. Now what do we do when we wake up? We should have a burden on our heart. We should, do what God tells us to do. We need to make our stand against the forces of evil as best we can. We can always ask, well, what can I do individually? What can I do individually? You know, we know in this nation, as long as we have the Constitution and our personal freedoms, and if we can maintain an electoral system that can be free and correct and not corrupted, we can vote. We still have the ability to vote, so we can change the leadership in the country, and we can support those leaders that follow God's way. And I think that's more important than ever. And so I think we need to make our stand against the forces of evil as best we can. Obviously, part of the weapons that God has given us is His Word, the sword of the Spirit, and He's given us prayer. And so prayer is a vital part of that. And I believe, you know, we've seen how prayers have been answered. But there's comes a certain point in God's direction that it no longer, the outcome of what He's going to do, the judgment that He is bringing or has brought, will have to be carried out. And I don't know for sure that we're at that point, but in the meantime, we need to do what we could do. And so that means take our stand and to pray and to share the word and to bring one person to Christ at a time, if that's what it takes. So, but our world is changing. We know that. So anyway, let's start out in verse or chapter 52. With those first, well, I guess it's 12 verses, because we're going to change topics starting in verse 13. So those first 12 verses are concerning this continued theme: the Lord will comfort Zion with His everlasting promises. So let me read those verses 1 through 5. Let me read those first five verses first. Awake, awake, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust. Rise up. Sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For this is what the Lord says: you were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. For this is what the sovereign Lord says: at first my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately Assyria has oppressed them. And now what do I have here, declares the Lord? For my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock, declares the Lord. And all day long, my name is constantly blasphemed. So they're called in verse 1 to clothe themselves with strength and put on their garments of splendor. I don't know if it's the robes of righteousness or which set of garments God is calling for, but they're to put on His righteousness, basically. And verses 2 and 3, they're to shake off the dust, they're to rise up, they're to sit enthroned, free yourselves from the chains on your neck, stay out of bondage, because the promise is you will be redeemed, they will be redeemed. And then verses 4 and 5, remember the past and the present, and look forward to the future, and that's the next section here, verses 6 to 12, so... Well, let me go ahead and read that section. I think we've got time to do that and therefore finish this particular topic or theme. So we're going to read verses 6 to 12 and look at that plea to look to the future. Therefore, my people will know my name. Therefore, in that day, they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is. Yes, it is I. And then that, I think, well-known verse in verse 7 of chapter 52, and we often use it as a meaning to the spreading the gospel. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. You know, there's certain verses in the Bible that you can take as, you know, kind of a summary of what God, you know, wants of us and desires of us, and this may be one of them, because it's how blessed God is, how blessed we can be if we're the ones who bring the good news. And so that's our purpose. That's our purpose as the church, as the body of Christ. And so, and that being in the Old Testament, before Christ came the first time, and yet that promise is there. How beautiful. On the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news and proclaim peace. Let me read on. I'll just read the rest of it and then we'll talk about it. Listen, your watchmen, lift up your voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. You know, we're to be ever watchful. God's people were to be watchful at that time. And of course, I believe ultimately we're looking forward to the return of Christ. They were to be looking forward to the coming of Christ when the Lord, but this is a promise of the future. Then verse 9, burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Verse 11, depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, come out from it and be pure, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. He'll be your protector. So that's kind of how this particular theme ends. But let me just look at the points I have on there just as a reminder of what we just read. So look to the future. I describe these verses 6 to 12. My people will know my name. They will bring good news, the gospel, to those who will say to Zion, your God reigns. You know, that Christian song, Our God Reigns. And it's something we can sing continually because we believe it. We trust in it. Verse 8, your watchmen will lift up their voices and shout for joy when the Lord returns to Zion. They will burst into songs of joy when he has redeemed Jerusalem. All these promises, all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. And of course, when Jesus came the first time, he came to bring salvation. He came to die and save us from our sin. And then verses 11 and 12. So give up unclean pagan religious objects, for you will not leave in haste, but the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. God be with you, you know, wherever you go, and that's the important thing. So let me just, as it just kind of struck me last night as I was preparing for this lesson. That term awake, it just kept rolling over in my mind, and so another song came to my mind. And so you know me by now, and this is not rock and roll. This is a Christian song, and it's a song that I hope many of you know who the group Casting Crowns is. I'm sure those of you that follow Christian music know that. I think it's the best Christian singing group out there. I mean, and they've been around for a while. This is a CD that they produced in 2005, and it's called Life Song, and that's one of their songs off of that CD. They also have the song, which many of you know, maybe have even been comforted by, Praise You in This Storm. Another great song. There's other songs on this CD. But the one for the first time, when I bought this CD back in, I think it was 2005 when it came out, a song I hadn't heard because I don't think it was played on the Christian radio at that time in the beginning when this came out, but it was a song called While You Were Sleeping. And so if for those of you that have heard this, you can go out on YouTube and you can listen to it if you want to listen to it because it's powerful. Mark Hall, who is the lead singer to Casting Crowns, he wrote the song. And so it was in 2006, shortly after this CD was produced, that I was teaching, I don't know which time I was teaching through Revelation, I think it was probably the fourth or fifth time, but it was the beginning of 2006. It was actually January 23rd, because I look back in my records, you know, I keep records on everything, so I even
who
looked.
Was there?
Well, I did, but none of you were there, so I can tell this with a, well, Karen was, I'm sorry. But I had people there that were neighbors. I had that were not, you know, part of our church affiliation. I had people from St. John's Lutheran Church, which many of the people who came to my Revelation study came, and they came to my house because I couldn't teach it at the church the way I teach it. But they came, and a dear older couple. He's now passed on, and he's the one that told me after going through my Revelation study, when I asked the question, what was new to you? What did you learn from this study? And he said, everything. He'd never heard any of it. You know, I think he was 80-ish years old at the time. But anyway, he and his wife were there, and then others. But anyway, I decided because I was teaching, I think, the third lesson of Revelation at that point in time. I'd started at the beginning of the year after the first of the year, and it was the third lesson. So I'd gotten through the churches, the first three chapters, and I began that night on chapter 4. And it's in chapter 4 that I start talking about the concept of the rapture, or the coming of Christ. And so I decided as a closing to my presentation on that, introducing the concept, because some of the people weren't even familiar with that concept, I decided to play this song. The song from Casting Crowns called While You Were Sleeping. So this morning I want to finish with just reading the words to this song, and please go out and listen to it if you don't know it. If you do know it, you know what I'm talking about as I read this. Because it goes through from Jesus' birth to his crucifixion to his second coming, and then the last verse deals with the state of affairs in America. So let me read this real quickly. O little town of Bethlehem, looks like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a giant star lights up the sky. And while you're lying in the dark, there shines an everlasting light. For the King has left his throne and is sleeping in a manger tonight. O Bethlehem, what you have missed while you were sleeping. For God became a man and stepped into your world today. O Bethlehem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king. While you were sleeping. O little town of Jerusalem, awake, awake, O Jerusalem. O little town of Jerusalem, looks like another silent night. The Father gave his only Son. The way, the truth, the life had come, but there was no room for him in the world he came to save. Jerusalem, what you have missed while you were sleeping, the Savior of the world is dying on your cross today. Jerusalem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king. While you were sleeping, while you were sleeping. United States of America looks like another silent night. As we're sound asleep by philosophies that save the trees and kill the children. And while we're lying in the dark, there's a shout heard across the eastern sky, for the bridegroom has returned and has carried his bride away in the night, in the night. America, what will we miss while we are sleeping? Will Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America, will we go down in history as a nation with no room for its king? Will we be sleeping? Will we be sleeping? And then it ends with, United States of America looks like another silent night. So we'll conclude with that. We'll pick up on the next topic next week to finish this particular lesson. And hopefully be ready to go on to lesson 10 after that, which will be our last lesson of Isaiah, which will probably take us a while, but we'll get through it. So anyway, let's pray as we prepare ourselves for a time of worship and reflect upon what we've talked about this day. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you've given us to be in your word and to share from your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your sure word of prophecy that you've given us, that we can rely upon, because everything else in your word has come true, that has been promised, that you have promised before, and we can take it in a literal way. And so we look forward to the completion of all your words of prophecy in your word, and we can trust it. And so we do. And we thank you for that word that is that word of comfort, that word of encouragement, the word of the gospel message, of the good news. And so we can hang on to that despite what we see happening around us at times in our lives, the struggles that we may go through, the difficulties, the challenges. But we have your sure word. And so we thank you for that word. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who you have given us. So we pray now, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to truly fill this place as we go into our time of worship, that the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit, may be evident to each one of us as the word, the music, the prayers, the fellowship that we have with each other speaks into our lives. And encourages us along each of our journeys so that when we leave this place this day, we can take that word with us, a better understanding of the word, the challenge that's before us, and encourage each one of us as we live out our faith. We thank you for this time you've given us in the study of your word, and we thank you ahead of time for the totality of our worship service. And so we ask for a special blessing upon Raymond and the message that he will give from the book of James as well. So we thank you for this day and this time, and we just ask for your continued direction and guidance in each of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.